This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. Around the corner from her office in beautiful downtown Oakland, California, is DeLauer's newsstand. It has been there since 1907. For the people who live and work downtown, it is central to our existence. Everyone goes there to buy drinks, little packs of fruit-flavored cigarillos, and occasionally even a newspaper. But about 8 months ago, it became clear that even though DeLauer's wants a bunch of people inside the store buying things, they didn't want a bunch of people outside their store. So DeLauer's started playing really loud classical music. And although a fair number of people are still hanging out in front of the place, the owner says it's not nearly as many as before.
So, a big change. It was a mess. They were just playing dice on the street. But now it helps us a lot. Even the customers are telling us they see the change on the street here.
That is referred to as unpleasant design. Selina Savic is co-author of the research project about such designs.
Unpleasant design has been here since we started designing public space or cities ages ago, really.
Unpleasant designs are meant to exert a kind of social control in public by targeting people who spend a lot of time in public spaces. And the designs often end up pushing these so-called undesirable people out of one space and into another. Music is only one method for deterring teens from public space. In 2009, the Nottinghamshire House Estates in England installed pink lighting to keep kids from congregating.
Pink lights, which would emphasize the skin blemishes on teenagers, should result in teenagers not hanging out there. That's one of my favorite examples.
Mine too, although there's not a lot of evidence that proves how effective it is. Pink lighting that preys on teenagers' insecurities is funny and kind of devious, if a little far-fetched.
Lights are one of the original forms of public social control. For example, there was a bridge in a small town in Bosnia,
specifically in the Kasbah of Visegrad, Bosnia, in the early 1900s,
where the Austrian government, who kind of annexed the country at that time, decided to implement street lighting, and that was very unpleasant to the locals, and the locals would destroy the light every night, and the government would reinstall it every morning. Because they felt that the light is something unpleasant for free expression in public space. That's something we have forgotten completely. These days, we think of streetlights as deterring criminal activity.
But besides music and light, there are also these little studs, the angry-looking spikes. They made the news in 2014 when they were installed in London in the concrete floor of a small alcove by the entrance to an apartment building, meant to stop people from sitting or lying there. And one thing that makes unpleasant designs like spikes and similar features especially frustrating is that they're just there. They're not moving. There's no arguing with them.
If you have a policeman who prohibits people from sleeping in a park, I think there is still some possible negotiation, and I think that's good. That's what society is about, the ongoing negotiation and ongoing change. But when we start using things that are immutable and unchangeable, like metal spikes, there's nothing that's going to change until they rust. I think that's the most important criteria for calling something unpleasant design. It is something that you cannot negotiate with.
But let's turn to Savic's masterpiece of unpleasant design, the Camden Bench.
Basically, it is a design solution to 22, I think, antisocial behavior problems. The only thing it does not deter is sitting.
The Camden Bench, commissioned by Camden London Borough Council, is a strange, angular, sculpted, solid lump of concrete with rounded edges and slopes in unexpected places. A critic named Frank Swain called it the perfect anti-object. Anti-sleeping because the shape makes it uncomfortable to sleep on. Anti-drug dealing because there are no slots or crevices in which to hide drugs. Anti-theft because the recesses near the ground allow people to store bags behind their legs and away from would-be criminals, etc. And all those goals are pretty noble. But Selina Savic finds this litany of anti-measures demoralizing.
It discourages 22 things. It encourages two, sitting and sitting together. When we expect people to do bad things to the bench before we think of anything good that people might do to this bench, I think that's a very sad approach to public space. I think it is very problematic when we start excluding people by design.
The reason we need a critical theory of unpleasant design is so we can recognize what is taking place in our public spaces.
There will always be people who believe this is a good way and people who think it's terrible. And this is what we wanted to achieve with this book, to start a debate. But in the end, we say we're really the observers.
And now you're an observer too. It's important to be aware of the decisions that are being made for you, because most likely unpleasant design is put there to make things more pleasant for someone just like you.